Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw Matt Chat. Well, this is a very special moment for us because, like, Cal has hosted Going In Raw with you 2 years ago when people don't know this, I quit the show for a month. Contract renegotiations. You brought in Cal. I was like, oh, crap.
There
people
goes
like
leverage.
Cal Jack more than me.
There goes
I better
leverage.
Run back. And you got a bigger piece of the pie, Larson. Pretty shocking details here on this episode of Matt Chat. Cal Jack is with us as our guest. Welcome, Cal.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Friendos. It's been a minute. How you guys doing?
It has been a minute. We used to do our live reactions with you back in the office for a spell. And then, of course, you guest hosted Going In Raw for about, like I said, about 2 years ago. And you did an amazing job.
Yeah. Shucks.
So if people want to know more about what you're up to, because you're back now that indie wrestling is sort of back, you've been all over the place. What's going on with you, dude?
Oh, I've just been trying to do my best, make my mark in this business, which isn't easy. But I've traveled quite a bit, hitting little shows, being backstage at a couple cool little events, talking to certain people, can't say. But yeah, it's been fun so far. And I'm happy that the indies are starting to come back more and more. So all things are good.
What is the next, what do you have on the horizon in terms of where people can find you at wrestling shows?
So a lot of you may or may not know, but I've relocated to Las Vegas, and there's a couple shows we have coming up on this side of the world. We have Dark Arts Presents, Hot Dogs, Handshakes, and Exposure Bucks. We have a pretty good card on that one. I'm taking on Luster the Legend, who is a part of the team Reno Scum, and they were in Impact, and he's a great dude, and that's going to be a fun little match. That'd and then the following match. Day, I'll be in Los Angeles for Amped Up for the good friendo Sean Black's company. And I'm taking on Gino Told You So. Hopefully the enforcer Stevie Bradley will be there. And AO Worm was there too. And that's pretty cool.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So his name is Gino. I told you so. So are you going to tell him
so? Yeah.
Does he yell that during matches? I told you so.
That's
a great gimmick, right? That's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah. I love that. I know. One of these days, man, I know Larson and I both want to check out one of those Amped Up wrestling shows because it looks like a lot of fun.
They're great.
All right. So, of course, this is Matt Chat. So these are questions submitted by our awesome patrons at patreon.com/Stephen Larson. At $20 a month, you can submit your video question. That's right. You can have your face right here on the show every single month with another guest star here on Matt Chat. So, Larson, where are we starting today? Who's starting us off today?
We're starting here with a debut Matt Chatter, I believe. Pop Punk Bob Ross has a question. It's a power ranking. Let's get some power ranking in here while Cal's here. Let's see what Pop Punk Bob Ross has to say.
How's it going, friendos? It's Pop Punk Bob Ross coming at you with a Matt Chat question. So with Roman Reigns holding on to that title for the foreseeable future, probably for the next 2 to 3 years, a lot of us are wondering who's going to take that title off him. Cena's going to lose to him. The Rock's more than likely going to lose to him. And you guys have mentioned that it's going to be an up-and-comer who's going to take it off of him. But looking at NXT, there's really no up-and-comers that are believable in beating Roman at this point. And I'm almost worried that in the next 2 to 3 years, you could end up seeing Roman have a more and more boring title reign, to which that nobody's going to want to watch anymore. The Tribal Chief is very interesting at the moment, but how much longer can you push this? And maybe he'll have to turn face again, which will not work with the crowd. So power rank 5 wrestlers in which are on the current roster right now on either SmackDown, Raw, or NXT, who you believe can take that title off of Roman within the next 2 to 3 years.
Thank you, Pop Punk Bob Ross. Cal, you're our guest today. We're polite here on Going In Raw. We have good manners, so guests go first by all means.
Ah, shucks. All right, well, this is my list, and there is no personal bias on my list. Should I start from the bottom up or from the top down?
Yeah, start from 5 and then go to your top pick.
Okay. Well, this first one is a little biased because I am friends with him, and I did give him his last independent wrestling match before he joined WWE. Oh. Number 5 on my list is Mansoor. Why not? I like Mansoor.
That's an awesome pick. I was literally writing, so I didn't look at these questions, Vance. Mm-hmm. I was literally writing his name at my number 5 as well. So I'm going to take that off, but I love that pick at number 5.
Mansoor, a.k.a. Manny Fabarino, also known as, he's only 17. That was his gimmick, was being a 17-year-old kid. He wasn't 17, but he told everyone he was 17. 4 on my list is Big E Langston, or a.k.a. Big E. He's got the Money in the Bank briefcase. I don't know if he's going to, you know, it seems like he might be leaning more towards Lashley because Lashley's beating up Kofi and Woods. But I would like to see him put that on Roman, you know. And then 3 is Edge. I know Edge and Seth are having a thing right now, but, you know, I love Edge to death. The guy's amazing. So I'm going to say Edge. 2, Seth freaking Rollins. Easy, safe pick. And then number 1 is Drew McIntyre. I love Drew. He's the man. I hope they, you know, I don't know where he's going to end up, you know, especially within 2 to 3 years, whether he'll stay on Raw or he'll eventually go to SmackDown. But that's my list. Very, very simple, easy.
Good
easy
list.
Picks.
Good list.
I like it. What a good list. What a good list. Wow.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I only have one crossover with Cal because it's kind of an obvious one, but I'm going to go with my number five. It was Mansoor because I honestly think that Mansoor and Ali have the best thing going right now in the WWE. I love their early tag team. It's great. Mansoor is awesome. I think that he would be a great number five. But you said that. I'm going to go instead with Bronson Reed at my number five. Oh. I think this guy, he's got all the charisma in the world. I think they need to really nail down his character, get him some solid wins. I really like Bronson Reed. I have him my number five. My number four is going to be, you already mentioned it, Drew McIntyre. I think that Drew is a possibility with the draft coming up. I think Roman's probably going to have that title for a long time. So they'd have to take the long route, maybe keep Drew on Raw for another year and maybe have him pick up the WWE title. And then in like the next draft, like a year from now, maybe even 2 years from now, depending on that Rock match when that Rock match happens, because that Rock match is going to be, you know, I think that's going to be for the title. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Drew is a great option. The great thing about Mansoor is that he's the only guy that I really see on the roster right now that has the potential to have like a 3 year road to that spot where if they book it properly, he could be like the biggest thing in the company. My number three is Jey Uso. I think that I have a hard time seeing it right now because he's so broken down, but in the right hands, if Paul Heyman is able to keep his hands on this creative over the course of the next 2 years, then they could really build him back up to that point. I'm bearish on that. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think that'd get a huge crowd pop. My number two, he's a super destroyer heel right now, Bob Lashley. I think you have this. You have like a really great run with this WWE title, getting wins over names like Goldberg, Drew McIntyre, Kofi Kingston, former champion. I mean, just completely annihilated him. And, you know, you keep that title on him, maybe tease something like this at Survivor Series where both guys come out. It's a wonk finish, a double count out, something stupid like that. But it's like, whoa, this guy could really go toe to toe with Roman Reigns. And then again, after The Rock is done with his thing, you get Bob Lashley over to SmackDown via the draft. And it's like, oh, man, what a great matchup there. And then, of course, my number one, I guess this would also be something you already had. It's Big E. He's got that briefcase. But again, maybe he spends some time on Raw first. And then in 2 years, you have the draft. He comes back over. And that's when he takes that title off Roman Reigns. Once he's legitimized himself as WWE champion, which is kind of the secondary title in WWE
right now. Yeah.
So you bring him over to win big one, the Universal Championship on SmackDown.
Yeah. Number five on my list, I got Keith Lee. He's got the in-ring ability. He's got the presence. Answer. He's got the charisma. Get some strong creative behind Keith Lee. He's a consistent main eventer for years to come. Number four, Seth Rollins, given his history with Roman Reigns, makes all the sense. To potentially have him be the one to beat Roman. You can tell a pretty interesting story about that. Three on my list, I got Riddle. I don't know if there's anybody in WWE who's like the polar opposite of Roman Reigns more so than Riddle is. After he's done with the story with Orton, maybe he's able to tap in more to a bit more of a serious side. Although he's plenty serious and intense in the ring. You know, once he's in the ring, there's no goofing around with Matt Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Riddle, face him off against Roman, could be some interesting mic stuff. Awesome matches. Two, Big E. He's got the Money in the Bank briefcase. He could conceivably cash in anytime. Obviously, they're probably going to wait till after WrestleMania, whenever Roman has his match with The Rock, to actually consider any sort of title change. Number one, this is like the one person they've actually done a good job of booking to make it conceivable that tomorrow, in a one-on-one match, this person could beat Roman because they've set it up. The only he's had two matches against him. Both times he lost because other people were involved. That is Edge. They have actually booked Edge. So he, in my mind, if he pinned Roman, I would buy it. They've actually done a pretty good job booking Edge in terms of me thinking, all right, he could beat Roman. If there
they put him up there. Yeah, they put him up there in terms of like power ranking him. Yeah, totally. Yeah. They did that with Edge.
In a one-on-one bout with no interference, no third party involved, he could beat Roman.
Yep.
He could be Roman.
All right. Next up, we've got Dirty Rich with a question about AEW. Let's see what he has to say.
Dirty Rich here, trying to make this quick, as you see, because I'm at work and I escaped my job site to send this in because it's due by 12 and I'm watching an old Quizzlemania and I remembered it's due today. Anyway, this is going to sound weird coming from me as I've been anti-AEW for quite a bit, but I'm kind of scratching my head. If you all were to introduce the world of AEW to someone, each of you give me your top three matches that you would suggest to someone if they were interested in watching AEW. As always, too sweet. Stay cool, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Dirty Rich.
Thank you, Dirty Rich.
Dude, there's so many to choose from. There's so many matches to choose from. Here's my three. Number three, Hangman and Kenny Omega versus the Bucks at Revolution. Just great storytelling. I still think that the best tag team match of all time is the Bucks versus the Golden Lovers, mm-hmm. which precedes this match and was not obviously in All Elite. But I kind of feel like spiritually there's some significance there. Yeah, you know,
yeah. There's sort some of spiritual success there's some parallels there in the stories they're trying to tell. Yeah.
Another Young Bucks match is going to be against FTR. If somebody is getting into AEW, if you're like, hey, check out AEW, they might have already been a fan of like some WCW stuff or wrestling in general. And this is the match. It was the love letter to tag team wrestling where they did a bunch of other tag team finishers mm-hmm. and moves and a lot of callbacks to that stuff. So I'm going to say the Bucks and FTR.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then I'm going to say, this is my number one answer. It's Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa Lights Out. Holy crap. These two go at it. It's fantastic. It's really great. So there you go.
Yes.
And then
yes.
My dark horse candidate would be Jericho versus Nick Gage from this past.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
That's great.
I watched there that match go. The other day.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. Yeah.
We share a couple answers, Steve. I too have Young Bucks versus Kenny and Hangman Page from Revolution. You can make the case it's the best match that AEW has put out there so far in their existence. Mm-hmm. I also have Thunder Rosa versus Britt, the Lights Out match. Man, that was edgier seat stuff. That was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Number one on my list, though, is Kenny Omega versus Pac on Dynamite, the 30-minute Iron Man match they had.
Oh, that's a good one.
That match was phenomenal.
That was really
absolutely
good.
Phenomenal. I feel like you get a little bit of everything with these three bouts, a lot of what AEW has to offer. I guess could have put the triple threat with Orange Cassidy and Pac against Kenny. That was really fun. If you want to get a little more of the comedy stuff that AEW can do, just to kind of touch all the bases, but in my mind, those are probably the three best matches AEW has had to date. So that's why I got my list. Cal, what do you got?
My list is a lot different than your guys's because two of the matches I actually saw live. So, and seeing it live to me is much different than obviously watching on television or whatever. So my number three is Moxley versus Nagata. That match was so much fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, you got to see that live. That's right.
That match is so much fun to watch live. And not to mention, I talked to someone, and they're like, dude, this is a guy who I watched when I was 11. And the fact that I get to wrestle against him, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. So that to me was pretty cool. Christian versus Matt Sydal. That's Christian's like legit first real match coming back after a long hiatus, even though, yeah, he did the Royal Rumble or whatever. Mm-hmm. That match was so much fun to watch live. That was like a good storytelling match and just easy, just great stuff. And then my number one, and there's some bias behind it, but whatever. It's, you know, it's why you brought me on. Jungle Boy versus Dax Harwood. That was the match that made
what a great match.
Jungle really Boy. Good. That was like just a good storytelling match.
Mm-hmm.
Dax and Jungle Boy killed it. I think that really put Jungle Boy on the map as a real star. And I love that match. So those are my top three.
That's a good match.
Those are really good. I'm going to also give a quick shout out to what was the match that Statlander came back? Was it Chuck and Trent versus Miro and Kip?
Yeah,
the
arcade match. Yeah.
Yes, the arcade anarchy, which is like such a cheesy thing. But holy crap, that was a really fun match.
Fun.
And Statlander coming back for that in like the the claw machine or something?
Yeah, the claw
like
game.
That?
Yeah.
That was really cool. Now, I was trying to think of an Orange Cassidy match because like. He brings that whole element of AEW brings something that like casuals could really bite into. It's like, oh, whoa, this is kind of neat. Orange Cassidy. I was trying to think of like one of his better matches, and I really remember
probably
really
the one with Kenny and Pac, the title match. That was a good match.
I dug that match. I hated the finish.
I did not like
all the titles being used. I thought it was
I'll give a shout out to the first Stadium Stampede match as well. That was tons of fun.
That was fun. That finish was
insane.
Mm-hmm,
Kenny
mm-hmm.
doing the one winged angel off the camera platform to the
that was fantastic.
The platform below. Anyways, let's move on to sorry, Cal, you got something to add?
I think I like the match. Some parts a little rough, but with Serena D and Red Velvet.
Oh yeah.
That match is good. Serena D is so good.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's really good.
Move on to TNA for life. He's got a question. Let's see what he has to say.
What's going on, guys? It's your boy TNA for life. Clean shaven and back for a match hat question. I want to know, now that we have crowds back, if you can go on a wrestling trip, all expenses included, to any city of your choice, including, you know, the fans, you know, what you could do outside of the wrestling show you're going to, and just the whole experience involved, what city would you pick? What promotion would it be? And what is the big main event? Thank you so much, Cal Jack, Steven Larson. Too sweet. Hearty handshake. Peace.
Thank you, TNA for life. All right, this is easy for me. Steve, Cal, what's the greatest show in any wrestling calendar of the year? What's the number one show? I can't see
Triple Mania. Yeah, absolutely.
So Arena Mexico mm-hmm. City, Triple Mania. That's the show I want to be at. And I know they faced in the main event of Triple Mania before. Let's run it back. This time, make it like a hammer match. Where there's a hammer suspended above the ring. You got to get a ladder and get the hammer so you can use it. I'm talking Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Blue Demon Jr. Run that back. That was so much darn fun.
Oh, it was so much fun, dude. It was so great. It was so awesome. Cal, what do you say? If you can, if money was no expense, what promotion, what location, and what's your main event?
Easy. Bloodsport. It's my thing. It's going to be Bloodsport. And location, anywhere. I don't care. Let's put it in Vegas. Maybe in Vegas, Bloodsport. Let's go to T-Mobile Arena. And we're going to have me versus either Barnett or Moxley. Ooh. That's the match right there, main event. That's what I want.
That's great.
That's the match. Bloodsport, me versus Barnett or Moxley.
That's great.
Pure wrestling, no ropes.
All right.
Grappling.
So
punches and strikes.
Arena Mexico, Triple Mania, but my main event is going to be Blue Demon Jr., but it's going to be against Kenny Omega. Oh. Make that match. Oof. Look, Kenny's on this trip right now where he's just completely destroying his body. He looks like he's just wrecked all the time. He looks like he's exhausted being the belt collector. So I think his final boss should be Blue Demon Jr. in a ladders match, special guest ref. The tired mariachi from the last Triple Mania. Mm-hmm. And just all the bells and whistles. That's what I want to see.
That sounds great.
And I want to be front row for that. When Phoenix or Aerostar or whoever suicide dives out of the ring, I want him to be coming at me and I'll catch him.
There you go. Man, that's like that time that, was it
Corliss
Michael Smith?
Williamson. Michael Smith. That's right. Yeah.
Ran into your lap at a Kings game.
That was great. Good hustle, Aerostar.
We got a question from Stephen M. next. Let's see what Stephen M. has to say.
What's going on, friendos? Today, my match chat question is about moves, and this is in the instance of who you think has the best version of that move, and then the best moment or kind of use of that move. So we all think that Edge is quite a weak spear, like a running hug. But also, I think Edge also has the most iconic use of the spear when he speared Jeff Hardy off the ladder in TLC 2. And then I think, personally, Bobby Lashley has the best spear. The man runs through a person, doubles over, looks like a car crash. I know people say Goldberg, but that's just my opinion.
Thank you, Stephen M.
Thank you, Stephen M.
What do you say, Cal? What's the best version of a move, and what's the best moment of that move?
Best version of the move? It's the cutter, and it's by Randy Orton.
That's
the best
answer.
Version of it was when he hit on Seth freaking Rollins at WrestleMania 31. That's
the exact answer, too. I got to think we do
that. That is the answer.
It's the answer of all answers. You can't. It's the most protected move. In pro wrestling, it's the best move. It's the cutter. Randy Orton, RKO, Seth Rollins, WrestleMania 31.
All right, Cal, that's obviously the correct answer, but I'm going to go with, you know, because we can only go down from there. The second best answer is the powerbomb. God, I'm torn between the powerbomb and the stunner. I'm going to give two answers. Larson, you weren't going to say the stunner, were you?
No, I got to think of a brand new answer because I had the RKO. That's the right answer. That's
okay.
Right
answer. I know. I had a thing on the fly too. So I got the powerbomb. It's Kevin Nash's powerbomb back in WCW. And it's Kevin Nash's powerbomb back in WCW when he did it on the Giant. Because that was damn impressive.
The time he actually hit it. Yeah.
Not when he dropped him on his head.
Yeah.
Although that was pretty impressive too. And then my secondary answer to give Larson a little bit more time. It's going to be the Stone Cold Stunner. And nobody does it better than Steve Austin. It's there's something about that snap. Once he got the gut, maybe the middle fingers, and then dropped it. Oh, man. No. And then he starts barking at them on the ground. Nobody ever did it better. Nobody has done it better. It's the Stone Cold Stunner. And when he did it, the best version of that is when he did it on the best moment of that is when he did it at any point on The Rock, who then just bounced up and bounced on the ropes and sold the crap out of it. And then the second best moment of that is when he did. If you ever look at Stone Cold hitting the stunner on Sergeant Slaughter, it looks like Slaughter actually spikes himself in the process at like whatever, 55 years old or whatever he was. It's an amazing moment. It was on Raw ages ago. So yeah, there's my answers.
All right. Since Cal gave the right answer, which is my answer as well, Orton with the cutter versus Seth, WrestleMania 31, 1,000% the right answer. I'm going to say a brain buster on the top turnbuckle, and just every time El Generico did it.
That's great. I'm going to also give this one. that is a great move. The super kick, Shawn Michaels, and when he gave it to Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah.
Or
the Shelton Benjamin spot.
Shelton Benjamin. Yeah, I was about to say Shelton Benjamin. Yeah, that was amazing. That was great.
That was a great spot. It's a great spot. We got one more question, a text question from Luis Ariza. Says, all right, friendos, and I'll put friendo Cal Jack. I got some questions for you. First, what is a talent or talents from any era that you don't understand why they never got a big push? And then second, what are some bad wrestling takes you used to have? Steve, yep, you kick us off.
All right. So the first answer for that question, a talent from any era that I don't understand why they never got a big push, it's going to be Damian Sandow. Twice this guy got himself so over with the crowd. I don't understand. I know it was because it was against John Cena, but like, I feel like this guy had everything. He had the look, he had the character, he had the charisma. He was a decent wrestler, still is a decent wrestler. I think he's still in the NWA. I really love Sandow, and they had him cash in that awesome leather custom briefcase against John Cena. Give him the fucking strike. Give him the title. Just give. I think at that point, like, it was probably for the secondary title anyways, like the big gold belt, I think, is what he was cashing in on. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, put the title on Sandow, see what he could do with it. And then the time when he was with The Miz, mm-hmm. and he was doing the stunt double stuff, he was so over. People loved that shit. So I'll never understand why they didn't. And maybe it was some backstage stuff. I don't know. You never know because you're not there. But I'll never understand why they didn't try to push Sandow more. And then the second question, the bad wrestling take I used to have is that Bret Hart was an underrated champion or overrated champion. I think that's a terrible take. I think he's a fantastic champion, and he did everything he could. People love Bret Hart. I love Bret Hart. I think he's fantastic. So there you go.
All right. I got two names here that I'm still surprised I never got a serious push. One, Canyon. Dude was a great wrestler.
Yeah. Canyon was great.
Fantastic wrestler. I know he was involved in storylines pretty consistently, but he's never pushed it, as that I recall, as top star. And mm-hmm. that's a bummer because he was really good. And then we see him now, John Morrison. At least in WWE, I think he's had like one decent push, title contender, and that was way back in 2011.
Hey, Splash.
I know he was Impact Champion. He won tons of belts when he was in AAA, but in terms of wrestling at WWE, I don't really feel like he's ever gotten a serious prolonged push that's on the same level as his talent level, because he's off the charts talented. As far as bad wrestling takes, same with Steve, saying Bret Hart's overrated. Bret Hart's not exactly my cup of tea, but I could appreciate his skills, his talent level. He is an 8 wrestler, maybe 7+, but 8's close enough. So that's, you know, historically speaking, been my bad wrestling take. But I always said Bret Hart was overrated. I mean, it's always kind of tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate his.
I think
his
most famously we did it at that Internet Darling show.
Yeah,
because that video like racked up like a ton of views. But yeah, no, I recant on that one.
I kind of half recant.
You recantish.
Yes. All right, Cal.
What's a talent from any era you don't understand why they never got a big push?
So mine is Too Cold Scorpio.
Oh, great answer.
Great.
Because everybody, like Xavier Woods, so many guys have referenced him as far as being so talented. And the dude is still going right now. He's still doing indie shots.
Yeah.
And he's 55.
Yeah.
And he's still off the top rope doing that like flip leg drop thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guy is so good. He was at like, I think not the gathering, but he was at a,
he was at homecoming this past last weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And just, I never understood why he didn't get a real like push. I don't know. He was on the job squad, I guess, but whatever. But yeah, Too Cold Scorpio. Bad wrestling takes. That's a good question. I don't know. I couldn't answer that one. I couldn't think of anything that I could really think of a bad wrestling take for me. I don't know. Maybe I should start doing dives or something. I was against dives. I'll start doing dives or something. Maybe I'll start doing some gymnastics.
There you go.
Start doing. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
That's. I was against it, but now maybe I should be for it.
Work on your tope, dude.
There you go.
All right. That's going to do it for us for Matt Chat today. Cal, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And where can they follow you on the Twitter to get all the latest info on where you're going to be?
Okay. So you can follow me on Twitter at Cal_Jack. But here's the thing. I spell it a different way. Mm-hmm. People need to understand this. Spelled K-A-L-J-A-K. You know why I spell it with no C's? Do you guys know why?
I do know, but I'm going to let you say it.
I do know, but yeah.
You guys do know. Because C's are average, and I'm not average. And nobody else should be average. So no C's in my name because I'm not average. So it's KL_JAK. That's how you spell Caljack, because we're not average. And you can follow me on Instagram, but I really don't care about Instagram. And that's about it. Yeah, just follow me on Twitter. That's all I care about. But thank you guys for having me. This is so much fun.
Well, thank you, Cal.
Anytime, Cal.
We'll have to have you back on the show properly at some point.
Heck yeah.
Sure.
And take another vacation, have Cal come in. Anyways, thanks everybody for joining us. We appreciate it. If you want to submit your question to Matt Chat, get your video question right here on the show. $20 a month at Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. Thanks everybody for joining us. We appreciate it. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.